You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 109, Nintendo Switch 4.0 Update. This week on the podcast, the lion's share of our discussion covers Nintendo's big 4.0 system update for the Switch, including some of the much-requested user features. And as we are only 4 days away from iPhone X pre-order, if that doesn't titillate you, you can keep yourself busy with Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Super Mario Odyssey, which all become available later in the week. So stay tuned for that and more. That's coming up next on The Impromptu. When everything is broken and nothing's going right.
So, next week is kind of a big week. Or this week, which it will be when you're listening to this.
Right.
Friday, we've got quite a lot. iPhone X pre-order at midnight. Super Mario Odyssey for Switch. Wolfenstein for...
The New Blood, is that what it's called? Sequel?
No, The Old Blood was an expansion for the first Wolfenstein. This is Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus.
The New Colossus, right.
So that'll be out on Friday for Xbox One and PS4 and PC, I think. And then the Switch version will be out next year. Early next year. Also on Friday, Assassin's Creed Origins, which is the earliest chronologically game in ancient Egypt. They took an extra year to make it, and it looks quite impressive, but I am waiting to see what the reviews are before pulling the trigger on that. Assassin's Creed's been pretty disappointing over the past few years, so...
Even Black Flag, I think. Was that the last one that you played?
Black
I never
Flag,
played it.
Black Flag was the last good one. The one after that was kind of disappointing.
Is it just me, or does it seem like they pump those things out pretty quickly?
Well, that's kind of the problem, and that's why they took an extra year to make this one. Because they wanted to actually take some of the criticism to heart and focus on shipping a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that's paid off. Like, I want to like this game. All the footage I've seen seems pretty good. It's got elements of Witcher 3 in there, where you have to like investigate stuff and prepare your assassinations and stuff. Like in The Witcher, there's quests where you have to go kill a monster and you can optionally discover clues about how to kill it, and then you can make your preparations and then fight the creature.
So it sounds like a little more tactical, a little more thought going into
a little
planning
more
how you're going to do stuff.
And then you also have access to basically a drone in the form of your pet eagle who can fly, and you can actually see through its eyes and it will highlight things in the world. The games have always had this power called eagle vision. This is literal eagle vision. So you have an eagle and you just send it out and you can see from its perspective and it highlights stuff for you. You can also mark targets, and in the skill tree, you can actually upgrade the eagle to be able to stun enemies. So you can actually have the eagle dive bomb people, and then while they're like dazed, you can run in and kill them. Just a bunch of interesting stuff going on. There's a totally revamped inventory system with weapons and armor that have stats and required levels. Like, it's kind of gone towards like a full-fledged RPG game, which is interesting. And the combat seems kind of reminiscent of Breath of the Wild. They're not doing that thing that Assassin's Creed always used to do where you'd be surrounded by enemies and they'd come at you one at a time. And all you had to do was mash counter to just defeat them all by one. Now,
not the most challenging.
Now it's like a proper action combat game, and you have to block and parry and dodge. And the hitboxes seem relatively realistic. And then if you do a parry, much like in Breath of the Wild. If you do a parry, you then get access to a special attack that does more damage. In Breath of the Wild, it's Flurry. In Assassin's Creed, it's a special attack based on whatever weapon you happen to be wielding. And there's a lot of weapon types.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a giant axe, swords, daggers, pole arms, you name it. There's a bunch of different bows. There's bows that have, they can shoot multiple arrows at the same time. Like, yeah, they seem to have borrowed from a lot of games that have been popular recently.
And speaking of Assassin's Creed, did you, this is a bit old news, I guess, because it came out a while. I'm not sure if it was earlier this year or last year, but did you watch the Assassin's Creed movie with Michael Fassbender?
I did not.
I just got around to watching that.
I did not. How bad was it?
Okay. It's not, it's nothing to write home about, but it wasn't terrible.
Mm.
It was entertaining. I thought they did a good job of explaining the lore. I thought it was fairly faithful to the games.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they borrowed enough elements of it to make it really, really interesting. And I don't think you really need to play the games to appreciate the movie, so that's good. But as someone who's played the games, I enjoyed it, but it's nothing. It's not going to win awards or anything like that.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like, it's on Netflix. You watch it. It's like, okay, it's great. It's a popcorn flick. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, I would never call it terrible though. It's just a merely decent movie.
Okay.
That's got a lot of action in it.
Mm.
And Michael Fassbender is pretty awesome. Costume designs were great in that movie, actually.
Oh yeah. Like, I don't doubt that some of the production value was really good.
I mean, because there's a lot of compositing and whatnot, especially when they go to the past, because it starts off in Spain.
Yeah.
But I thought the location stuff was like, I don't know if they actually shot it there. It did look like they shot some
stuff. I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, and then they did a lot of compositing and stuff like that to make it look old, right?
Yeah.
But the location stuff was actually quite good on that. And that movie, I don't think it was... I don't know what the budget of that movie was, but for a movie that didn't seem like it got a lot of marketing or a lot of buzz, I thought they did a pretty good job with it.
Think
of all the other movies that are being adapted from games, though. Like, it's not one of those really trashy adaptions that, like, you know, most movies that are based on games fail. Like, do you remember Doom? Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I don't want to remember.
And it was like PG-13 or something. It was just like, it was very loosely based on the game.
What if evil was a virus? Like, oh God.
They did have the BFG. So they did have the BFG.
Yeah, they had it. But I mean, like, okay, they had elements. And I will admit the first person camera sequence was pretty cool. It felt like the game. But yeah, it was terrible.
So new Assassin's Creed game. We're holding out hope that it will be better than some of its more recent predecessors.
Yes. All signs point to yes, but yeah, waiting for reviews to know for sure.
And the Nintendo Switch got...
Yes, just in time for Mario, it got updated to Switch OS 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought with it, drumroll, the ability to transfer your save games to another console.
Is this 2017?
Yeah, it is.
Just checking.
Shocking.
Groundbreaking feature.
Yeah. No cloud saves yet. Hopefully that is still on the way. But at least now you'll be able to hopefully back up your data, or at least it'll make it easier for Nintendo to transfer data if you've sent your Switch in for a repair. Because previously people had sent their Switches in and all of their data was lost.
Ooh, that's not a good position to be in.
No, especially if you've sunk 50 hours into Zelda.
I know that. I've been there. I mean, Grand Theft. You know, I remember the last one, Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Mm.
It's a long game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got that open world concept, and When you get about 50% through a game like that and you lose your game saves, you're going to be pissed.
So this should at least make it a little easier to resolve issues like that. And the other big feature, the eShop got an upgrade. You can now pre-order and preload digital games. just like every other console. So their online store app now has feature parity with every other console.
Fantastic.
Though the interface still needs a little housekeeping. It still doesn't quite have everything. The category system is still a little sparse, though they do now have a sale section, so you can see what games are on sale, which is nice. They are continuing to improve it with every update. And in fact, because the eShop is partially a web app, when you load it up, it can just be updated when you open it.
Right.
So they're continuing to push updates to it all the time.
Is it faster than the PlayStation Store web app? Because that's atrocious.
It is faster. It's a lot faster.
Let's not hold the Sony PlayStation Store up to any kind of bar that you should reach for.
Yeah, it's a low bar. It is faster than that,
okay,
which is nice.
It's really great to see Nintendo doing all of these updates, because I think we started just before the Switch came out, as we've discussed many times, and kind of collectively a lot of people sighing that are Nintendo fans, like, you know, what the hell is going on there? But then they released this product called the Switch, and it just seems like, okay, they're back.
Yeah.
And they're continuing to do stuff. Although,
yeah,
what's going on, and we can hold off on talking about this later, but I haven't heard anything about the awful mobile chat thing that they did. Do you remember that convoluted thing with
the
app where you needed like a weird connection to the device?
I do have some news on that front. 4.0 adds support for USB wireless headphones.
Okay.
Wireless headsets, including the PS4 wireless headset.
So over Bluetooth?
No, not over Bluetooth. In fact,
so these are actually using Wi-Fi.
No. USB adapter. So it uses radio frequency.
Okay.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, but before you say I don't like that and complain, guess what? None of the other consoles support Bluetooth audio. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So even the PS4, the wireless headsets don't use.
Yeah. Uses a USB dongle.
The problem with USB dongles, from what I've heard, it was not too many months ago. I think it was on Security Now podcast. They were talking about if you have relatively close physical access to somebody, that they're much easier to hack.
To what end?
I'm just saying that there have been proven cases where, for example, there are plenty of wireless keyboards out there,
right,
that use USB.
Right.
That have a USB dongle, and that you can intercept that signal and insert a keystroke logger incredibly easy.
Okay.
So that worries me.
I mean, it's a headset.
But it is a headset.
They're,
I mean, the
they're
only
gonna
thing,
catch
the only
you
privacy,
trash-talking people online.
Yeah, I guess,
like,
I guess.
What?
I mean, technically, it's an invasion of privacy if you do that. But again, I guess the only solace is they have to be physically close to you.
Yeah.
So your neighbor or something, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're on the bus or something, I guess. The impact's probably minimal.
Yeah.
But it still does.
But
it worries
if you're
me,
in a public place with a wireless headset and you're trash talking somebody in a multiplayer game,
that's the
game,
least of your problems.
They can hear you anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
So
I mean,
it doesn't really matter.
If you're in a public place, all bets are off. Whatever you're talking about is clearly not private enough for you to keep quiet about.
I mean, ultimately, it's not that big a deal. And every console does it this way. Mm-hmm. No other console currently supports Bluetooth audio. Which I didn't know. I thought
that's weird.
At least one of them did, but no.
But they have the Bluetooth chip built in. Why wouldn't you just use that?
I know, right?
BTLE.
Well, no, it's not BTLE. The controllers aren't, and I don't think the chip in the console is either. And in fact, they basically just don't have the audio spec activated.
I'm not entirely clear about the PS4 though, because I thought the current generation, current revision, the PS4 Pro and the Slim, I thought they had an updated Bluetooth in there. But
not as far as I'm aware.
Not that the DualShock takes advantage of it, but I thought it did have an update. That could very well
be
wrong, so don't quote me on that.
The PS4 Pro might have Bluetooth 4. I don't know if
it definitely
has
know
BTLE,
the controllers are not using that because the battery life is terrible.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
But they still don't support Bluetooth audio at any rate.
So Nintendo's not doing anything that anybody else is.
Yeah.
Not.
And this should in theory, make the video chat situation easier. Currently, though, voice chat still runs through the smartphone app. But it's possible that with this support, they might add the ability to do voice chat on the console through a wireless headset. So we'll have to wait and see. But this is definitely a welcome change because now you don't have to be tethered to your Switch if you're trying to listen to your game.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of crappy. I just saw the picture of like what required like two cables.
Yeah,
the headphones, and then
it was like this pass through. You had the audio from the game from the Switch to the phone, and then chat also from the phone to the headphone. It's weird. Anyways,
how is the Switch doing in terms of sales? In terms of availability, are people able to get it now? Can I walk into a store and grab one?
Availability is good. Yeah. They've been churning them out as quickly as possible.
How long has it been on the market for now?
Less than a July? Year, but actually today is the first anniversary of when they announced the Switch.
Okay.
So when they showed that initial trailer where they revealed the name and what it was and what it looked like, that was 1 year ago today. So the console's been on the market for about 6 months or so. It was like March, April. So actually about 7 or 8 months. And yeah, it's been doing really well. It's in the top five. In fact, I think it's outselling consoles in the U.S.
I'm not going to go as far as to say that it saved Nintendo, but it came out at the right time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. And frequently, Switch games are in the top 10 best-selling games every month. They're selling a lot of units. It's doing really well. So then the other big feature of 4.0 is video capture. So now, in addition to taking photos of your games, you can now capture 30-second video clips by holding the capture button instead of pressing it. And then you can post those to Facebook and Twitter. A future update will enable longer video captures. Currently, it's just limited to 30 seconds at a time, but they do plan on releasing an update that will allow you to capture for longer.
I wonder what the rationale was behind that. Why ship it with the with 30 seconds as opposed to, say, 60 seconds?
I'm not sure. I think it's like bite-sized clips, like bite-sized little pieces.
How does the memory storage thing work on the Switch?
I believe it stores the videos on the internal memory, though you can transfer them onto the SD card.
And it just takes a standard mini SD card, whatever most cameras use now.
Yeah, it's a micro SD card, and it supports theoretically up to a terabyte, though no terabyte micro SD card exists yet. They do have a 500 gig, but it's like super expensive.
Maybe they just want to see who's going to actually use this feature. Just collect some data on the usage
possible.
And just see are people using it.
I mean, people have been asking for video capture. It's something that people do a lot, and I know at some point they will probably add Twitch, and then you'll be able to actually stream playing a Switch title.
Sometimes I underestimate how many people actually use sharing features like that, because even the PS4 too, plenty of people share video clips from games that
they're
playing. I mean, it is cool to even be able to broadcast what you're playing.
Well, I mean, just look at the whole Let's Play community on YouTube, right?
Right. Like, that's a thing.
It's massive.
For sure. Yeah.
And like I said, once they add Twitch to Switch.
Twitch to Switch, huh? That should be the marketing campaign.
Oh, God.
They can have that one.
They can. So once they do that, it'll be really easy to share what you're playing. And obviously, once they add extended video capture, it'll be good too. The other caveat is that games have to support video capture. So Mario Kart just got updated. Breath of the Wild is also supported. Splatoon 2. And I believe Mario Odyssey will ship with video capture support.
I mean, those are the only games that you care about, right?
I mean, those are the big games.
You
got to
do the flagship games for sure.
Exactly.
The AAA titles.
Exactly. So then, obviously, it'll be up to every individual game whether to add support or not. Mm-hmm.
No, Splatoon, that's not a Nintendo-made game, is
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a new IP that launched with the Wii U. It's their one of their multiplayer games.
All right.
And then this...
I'm sure what any other game developers that are like big Nintendo partners probably will jump on this.
Oh, yeah. I would assume
it's probably
so.
I would imagine a fairly trivial
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's probably a
They've got an API or something.
It's probably pretty simple. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure I saw in the development kit that there was a stub for video capture and they said like at some point this feature will be available. So hopefully most developers just kind of added code to support it eventually and then they just have to flip it on.
Yeah. Now for software, like big firmware upgrades, or I don't know if they're calling them firmware upgrades, but is that something that, that can be done just on Wi-Fi or you don't have to plug that thing in, do you?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, the Switch is completely self-contained, so you can just download over the air. In fact, that's the only way to install updates as far as
I know.
It's pretty easy. And then, obviously, any game patches are automatically downloaded and installed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need to think about it. The eShop just automatically grabs any patches, which is nice. Certainly works a lot better than PS4's version of the same feature, which sometimes works when it feels like it. And then other times you have to turn the PS4 on and then it goes downloading update. Ooh, fun. Like
I love every PS4 firmware upgrades, like increase stability to some features or something.
Yes,
like that.
We will
the
be
exact
very
same
vague.
Release notes.
Yeah, we will be deliberately vague about what we fixed.
Yeah. Although the 5.0, we haven't talked about this, but the big 5.0 update
for
the PlayStation
big.
4 came out.
It didn't
well,
add anything, hardly.
It's a big version number, but it's a misnomer now. Like it is misleading nowadays because like version numbers don't even matter
anymore.
Oh, yeah,
they totally
like
don't matter.
Like a big 5.0, they call it a 5.0, but like it's not like they redesigned the UI.
No.
What did they add in that? Maybe we should...
They added some nice new like community and party chat features.
Yeah.
You can like make groups and other things. But yeah, nothing huge, nothing vastly substantial, just improvements to existing features.
It's kind of hilarious. Every time they announce a PS firmware upgrade like this or I don't know why I enjoy reading the responses on their social media, but it's like every person's like, when are you going to allow us to change our PlayStation account usernames?
Mm.
And people have been asking for that for years, and it's
mm-hmm.
probably not going to happen at this point.
Yeah.
For whatever reasons, I don't know, Sony
I'll tell you why.
An official statement about it, but they don't want to do it.
Well, they kind of have. They kind of have said like, They've given a bullshit excuse where it's like, oh, well, because we don't want people to be able to change their name because then they can avoid whatever. And
I
it's
get
like,
that, but you know what?
That
this
doesn't
is
matter.
Other platforms
like other,
support this. Like,
exactly.
Allow only one-time user name change. That would even be better than
nothing. There's more toxic gaming on Xbox Live, and they let you change usernames. The thing is, usernames are not account IDs. You can change your username all you want, but you still have the same account ID in the back end of
the
system.
Yeah, it's still tied
to
the same
person. So
Microsoft
still knows who you are. Microsoft still knows that you have 50 reports on your account
exactly.
for flaming people.
That just seems like a BS excuse to me.
Yeah, like Sony could easily work in the back end for this feature.
Isn't this like basic database stuff? Like, I mean, changing a username for God's
sakes? Of
course.
Like, the username should never be the primary key. There should always be an account ID.
Oh, I wonder if... It almost makes me wonder if they actually architected in a really stupid way originally. Now they painted themselves...
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
We're talking about a company that had credit card numbers. Remember years ago?
Yeah.
PlayStation?
Mm-hmm.
Millions of credit card numbers?
Yep.
So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them that 10 years ago when they designed it or whatever, that...
Yeah.
Some stupid database engineer just made it this way.
Yeah, sure. We'll make usernames the primary key.
I won't name names, but I've worked at companies and I've seen people do stupid shit like that.
Yeah. So have I.
It's like facepalm moment. Like,
oh, yeah.
No, you do not design it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because 5 years from now, when you want to make a serious change, you're going to be like, well, we got to redesign the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that might explain it. And also, Sony isn't really in a position to need to do anything because they're the incumbent. They have the largest market share. PS4 is like at the top right now. They don't need to care, which is why they haven't bothered with any cross-platform support.
Well, and
it's not in their best interest to allow it.
I agree, and although it is something, clearly there's a huge community of people that want that.
Yeah,
there are bigger issues to deal with.
Yeah,
you know, usability issues and other things too that make a more profound impact on the experience of their products, right? And that's I can't fault them as a business for wanting to improve, like, some of the stuff that they put out in 5.0, like community-based social stuff. Like, there are business reasons that are valid for making those types of changes.
Oh, but the thing is, cross-platform doesn't require their intervention.
What do you mean?
Rocket League accidentally had cross-platform working for a whole day.
What do you mean cross-platform?
I mean, literally, PS4 Rocket League users and Xbox Rocket League users
were talking to each other?
I thought that was impossible. Matches. No, it's not impossible. And that proved it because it accidentally happened.
Just deliberately doesn't want that.
Psyonix is like, oh, it's a bug. Oops. But it proved
a bug
that cross-platform play is literally as easy as flipping a switch.
It's some bureaucratic reason why they don't.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
What the hell do they care if you're talking to your buddy playing the game?
Like I said, it's not in their best interest as a company because they're on top. If they suddenly allowed cross-platform, people would go, well, it doesn't matter what console I'm on because I can still play with all my friends. So they're basically holding your friends
hostage. I very much
hostage.
Doubt people are going to suddenly jump ship from PlayStation and go to Xbox because of that.
Yeah, well, like, that's what they're
doing. This reminds me of...
That's what their executive team tells themselves.
It just makes people bitter.
Yeah,
right? It's
exactly.
Like, you know what? You know what a great analogy is? When we talked about TV recently, about how just give people what they want, because when you make it difficult for them to get the content that you're creating, you create these other illicit avenues, and now you're just like, okay, now I'm just going to be bitter about not being able to play with my friend.
And
like, I paid for this game, I paid for it, and I can't play with my friend that has an Xbox that has the same game.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
And it is super easy to allow it, and they choose not to. So, and it's incredibly hypocritical of them because...
I think we'll solve cancer first before we figure this out.
It wouldn't surprise me. But they're being hypocritical because they took on that same tack when the Xbox One was announced. They had that whole, always online, you can't share games, blah, blah, blah. And then Sony has their press conference, and they're like, here's how you share a game on PS4. And they had a video. Here you go. Thanks. Like, totally poking fun at them and being like, yeah, we're allowing it because we're the good guys. Yeah, well, Sony, now you're the bad guys.
Mm.
Just let us have cross-platform for the love of God. Just do it.
I mean, who knows? I'm not going to hold my breath, but one can hope that someday...
Nintendo is allowing it, for God's sakes. Like,
I really don't think there's any good reason. I think it does more harm than it does good.
Yeah,
for them a company.
Nintendo is allowing it.
Minecraft
on Switch is getting the Better Together update, and you're going to be able to play with Windows 10, Xbox One, not PS4, because Sony doesn't want to play with everybody else.
Hmm.
So Switch is going to be part of that whole thing.
Good.
And Sony's off in the corner outside the sandbox going, I don't want to play with you guys.
Yeah, they're a bit of a weird company sometimes.
Yeah.
So is that it for the Switch 4.0 update?
Yep, that was the gist of it. Mario is out Friday. It's going to be good. It's already gotten really good reviews.
Which Mario game is this?
Super Mario Odyssey. So Famitsu gave it 39 out of 40.
That's a good score, whatever that means. I don't know their review site, so
yeah, it's a score out of 40.
Are they pretty reputable from a review standpoint?
Somewhat, yeah. Edge Magazine gave them a perfect 10, and they do not do that often. Though notably, they gave another game a 10 this year, Breath of the Wild.
Ah, well, that likely deserved it.
So This is the first year.
So two big, potentially two massive hits for Nintendo this year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to sell a lot of copies.
Yeah.
It's their cash cow.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like Microsoft, the equivalent of Microsoft Office Suite.
Or Halo.
Right? You know, it's like yeah, they make a good chunk of coin.
Yeah.
I mean, if Mario goes away, they'd be seriously hooped, I think. That's a big chunk of their revenue.
Well, yeah. I mean, Mario is Nintendo.
And now I can assume you can buy these games now digitally, right? On the Swift,
yes.
On the Shift. You don't have, I almost said Swift, talking too much about Apple. Yeah. But yeah, you don't need to actually buy the physical box product anymore, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And the downloaded games will go onto the SD card, which is nice.
Anyway, so I'm assuming you're getting this Mario game. Did you pre-order it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you'll have to report back and let us know if it meets your strict standards and whether or not you feel that 39 out of 40 or that 10 out of 10 review grade is living up to those expectations.
Yeah, we will have to see.
Gaming is subjective too. That's the thing,
I did get a chance to play it earlier this year and I was really impressed. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how the full game pans out.
And of course, by the time this episode airs, well, towards the end of next week, you'll be pre-ordering your iPhone 10.
Yep.
And it won't be too much longer now that we have to wait for Michael to get his hands on that iPhone 10 and tell everybody about it.
Because
I certainly won't be getting
it. I am ready to do battle with all the other pre-orderers.
Yeah, and I will have to live vicariously through you.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky. Every second is going to count this time. Luckily,
because they're not making as many of these as the iPhone 8.
Apparently, they only have 3 million for the initial worldwide order.
You were going to say 300. I'm like, good luck, buddy. 300. You imagine trying to like fight with like, I don't know how many hundred, I don't know, millions of people that want an iPhone 10.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. So yeah, every second is going to count. I will not share my strategy because that would be telling. But
I'd be willing to bet money that one of those will be on eBay for like $2,000.
Oh God.
As soon as they come out.
Count on it. Like once they sell out, it's going to be like, you have to wait till December or something. Like
somebody with bottomless pockets, and then
it'll go even further. Yeah. Like, honestly, I think these things will be sold out until February.
That wouldn't surprise me.
At least initially, I think Apple will ramp up production. They'll clear the hurdles with the true depth camera. That's like the big bottleneck. It's not the OLED panel. It turns out that the component giving them the most trouble is actually the infrared array on the true depth camera that generates the dot map of your face.
Yeah.
So that's what's holding them up. Once they clear whatever yield issue they're having, they'll be able to churn out way more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think through to Christmas, the supply will improve considerably and they'll be able to get all of those orders out a lot quicker than they estimate.
And we talked about this a while ago, but you know, a lot of people suspect that the iPhone 8 sales are going to hurt because people are going to wait for the iPhone 10.
So far that has panned out.
If that really is happening now, they'll probably be able to turn it around once all those people waiting for the iPhone 10 realize that if they didn't get a chance to pre-order it, that it's futile, that they're not going to get one for another 6 months, so they might as well just upgrade to an iPhone 8.
Yeah,
think a lot of people will be in that position.
There will be people that give up.
Right.
For sure.
Because some people are not going to wait that long.
No. Though I don't think people that get quoted 6 months will actually end up waiting 6 months. Like I said, the supply is definitely going to ramp up leading up to Christmas, and I think they will get those orders all out before Christmas.
Let me ask you this. Hypothetically, for whatever reason, if you're unable to secure a pre-order and then suddenly you're greeted with a screen that says 6 month waiting time, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep the 7 Plus or are you going to just go with an iPhone 8 and then maybe upgrade next year? What are you going to do?
Well, right now,
if it says the iPhone 10 won't ship until, let's say, February 2018, what would you do?
Well, right now, I'm just going to say failure is not an option. But if it comes
good attitude. I applaud that.
If it comes to it, I will probably wait, because I am pretty confident that the supply will speed up faster than those estimates.
Right.
Because that's what happened last year with the 7 Plus. The 7 Plus sold out absurdly quickly, particularly the jet black model.
Jet black.
And people were quoted December, November, however many weeks. But then they all started shipping at the start of October. So I am fairly confident that a lot of those estimates will be conservative and people will end up getting their phones a lot quicker than they think they will. So I'm not too worried. I think it'll definitely be more difficult than previous years for sure. But
I guess the other deterrent is, although, see, there are checks and balances because, like, on the one hand, you have limited supply, but on the other hand, the phone is a lot more expensive. And so that is a deterrent for a lot of people. And because this is a unique situation where they've introduced this new phone that is more expensive, then in that case, it may be more likely that you will be able to get one.
Ultimately, it's going to depend how many they have versus how many people have been waiting to order one. So we do know that iPhone 8 sales have not been as high as previous iPhone launches. So that would suggest a gap. It's hard to say how many of those people are waiting for the 10. It's possible that some people are in the middle of a contract and can't upgrade yet.
We haven't had the number Q4 of factors. Earnings call yet, have we?
No. That will actually be...
Is that in December?
I think it's the week after the iPhone 10 pre-order, just before the 10 comes out. I think it's November 2nd.
And then when do they do the Q1 earnings call? Because that'll probably be the one where we'll get a good picture of what happened, right?
That's
November. Q4 will be too early.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they won't have any guidance on iPhone 10 sales at that point.
iPhone 8 sales, certainly, but...
Yeah, and if iPhone 10 pre-orders are massive, they might say something about it. But yeah, we won't really get a good picture of what this sale period looked like until quarter one 2018, which I think will be March. I think it's usually in March. It's going to be an interesting week.
You've been listening to the Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here, the single best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate today. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And do leave us a review if you have a moment that makes us feel good, as well as helps other people find the podcast. We're also available in Google Play Music, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well if you'd like to stream it there, and wherever else you can find podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, you can email us at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org, and that will go to both myself and Michael.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.